You're listening to Fan of a Fan, an independently produced podcast for stands by stands. I'm Kayla.
And I'm Augie. So in this week's episode, we're going to talk all about boy bands / R&B groups / whatever it is you call a bunch of men who sing together. We're going to talk about some of our favorite boy groups and, you know, all the different like issues with boy bands versus girl groups and some of the double standards.
And while you're listening, use the hashtag FOAFpod so we can see you guys' thoughts and stuff like that.
So let's get into it. If you guys listened to our episode all about girl groups, which was all the way back in episode 2, you know, if you haven't, you should go listen to it. But if you did, you'll remember that we had a bit where we kind of like went back and traced like the origins of girl groups and how it kind of made its way to today. We're not going to go as deep with it with the boy bands, but like I did want to start with how it was very similar with girl groups as far as boy bands starting with like doo-wop, and it was all about soulful harmonies back in the early days. And then like towards the 80s, I think especially, it started branching off. So you had a couple of different paths. It was like Jackson 5, Beatles, which was like the heartthrobs. And then you had like these crazy rock bands with, you know, the instruments and the sex, drugs, rock and roll, all that crazy stuff. Yeah. And all of that kind of, I feel like that all like was the blueprint to a lot of the groups we then started seeing that kind of blew up in the 90s and the 2000s. Because a lot of them were even created like to emulate those bands back then. So yeah, it's really cool how like it all still connects in that way.
I mean, especially Jackson 5. You know what I mean? We just recently watched the New Edition story on BET, and when the boys were younger, they like auditioned in an alley to have the guy manage them with a Jackson 5 song. You know what I mean? So,
their name, New Edition, came from them wanting to be seen as the New Edition of the Jackson 5.
Exactly.
Like, and so, then you also had B5, which was a spinoff of Jackson 5. Like, it, you see it, like, everywhere. It's amazing.
Yeah. So, I mean, those groups, those earlier groups definitely have huge influence on the groups that, you know, came after. But first, I want to kind of get into, like, why we call white groups, I guess, boy bands, and then why we call Black groups, R&B groups, whatever, like they don't really they don't get to be called boy bands, even if they're like young kids, you know what I mean?
So let's break it down. So like when you think of boy band, what do you think of?
One Direction.
One Direction. I wrote down, and you know, 5 Seconds of Summer, NSYNC, Backstreet Boys.
Yeah.
They're considered boy band, a band of boys, whether they have instruments in their hand or not.
Right.
And then what comes to your mind when you think of like, I guess, R&B groups? I mean,
New Edition, Drew Hill, Boyz II Men, Jodeci.
Right. Yeah.
If you want to get recent, Pretty Ricky.
Pretty Ricky. We're going to talk about them a little later.
You know, so like 26. All of these.
Shout out to them. But yeah, it's so weird to me. I honestly don't have, I mean, like we saw it with the Grammys. We see it all the time in the music industry. Like race plays a huge factor in how all of this plays out.
Right.
You know, and how they're, you know, something that I found out while researching for this was that New Kids on the Block was created kind of in spite of New Edition as
yeah,
like
they
the
were
white
literally
alternative.
Like a carbon copy. Yes.
Yeah. It's like insane. And yet, like, you would not call New Kids on the Block an R&B group.
No.
You would, even though they have a lot of the same elements as New Edition and were literally, like you said, a carbon copy trying to be like them, right, because they had behind the same manager or whatever. And it's so bizarre, and it just is another example of how, like I said, race kind of plays into how different groups of people are, like, boxed into certain categories and not able to, like, come out of that. And the R&B groups that we so call them, like, when you talk about them in relation to mainstream, it's, like, still considered a very niche thing, regardless right. of how big they blew up. Like, right. we still fucking dance to Poison all the time
right.
in the club, you know, but it's still... You know, they're over there, and, you know, when Backstreet Boys plays, it's a different kind of thing. It's so bizarre to me, but I find it fascinating at the same time.
Yeah, I was actually watching, I had one of those music stations on, you know, those stations that play music all day, mm-hmm. and they'll give you, like, little facts about whatever song an artist is on at the time. And a Boyz II Men song came on, and they wrote a little fact about how they're the highest-selling R&B group like of all time, or like in the 90s or something like that. And I just thought it was so interesting that they just didn't categorize them as a boy band, period, because they had like huge sales overall, you know what I mean? Not just in kind of like the subgenre of R&B. Mm-hmm. They were, you know, topping the charts throughout the 90s, like overall charts and things like that. So I thought that was interesting. But I also, like, when I think about Jodeci, Boyz II Men, and like the other groups, they were a bit older, so I can see maybe why they wouldn't be called boy bands. But like with New Edition, they started when they were little bitty kids.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know if it's maybe because, I don't know, I don't want to get like hashtag fake deep, but is it because like society sees like black boys as grown men when they turn like 13 or something like that?
Look,
like,
I'm not gonna even dispute that, because honestly, like, I have never thought about that, but that you may have a point there. Like, that may actually be a thing.
Because I'm just thinking about like how they're marketed. Like, when I think about like J14 pictures and stuff like that, you have like, I remember B2K, like, I see a picture of NSYNC, you'll see a picture of NSYNC with puppies, but you see B2K greased up with oil and vests
yeah,
open,
and
with their abs
the
open.
Age.
And they were around the same age when they, you know, were groups and stuff like that. And I just thought it was so interesting that, like, the R&B groups, they're, like, so they're sexualized so early, and it's mm-hmm. so different from the pop groups. You know
that
what I mean?
Very, very true.
It's very, so I thought, you know... Or, like, is it a race thing, or is it a genre thing where pop isn't really taken seriously and R&B is?
Listen,
so...
Again, when you think about what happened, I mean, it's not just with the Grammys, but just how the music industry is as a whole. But, like, with the Grammys in particular, like, you see, like, you cannot untie race and genre.
Right.
You know? Like, you just can't. And so... I would not be surprised if that's how it is, because since those two things are so tied together, then when you think about the people who are marketing these groups,
right.
you know, they have to take that into account. I mean, they may not be actively thinking about that, like, oh, we're going to do the black boys this way and, the white guys this, like,
right.
they may not be actively thinking about it like that, but that is the way it ends up becoming, just because of the way our society is structured.
Yeah.
But
like, I even find myself tripping up and not calling them, you know, R&B groups boy bands when they're all the same thing, and I think it's probably just because I'm so conditioned to call them that. But I mean, that's what they are, you know what I mean? Like,
they were, yeah,
of course,
they were totally a boy band.
Right, like when they get older, I guess they're like a man band, I don't know, but you know what I mean? Like, it's just like
A singing group.
Right, they're a group at that point, I guess. But I don't know, it's interesting because, like, I think about, like, if NSYNC or Backstreet Boys had stayed... Well, Backstreet Boys is still together, right?
Technically.
But they're not, like, they're not, like, I guess, mainstream. But Boyz II Men isn't either, but they have, like, a residency in Vegas or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if Backstreet Boys, like, had a residency in Vegas or something like that, where they were still very visible and not just, like, doing tours for certain
On
fans
cruise
and
ships.
Stuff like that. Yeah, like, if they were... still very visible or whatever, are we still calling Backstreet Boys a boy band? I mean, because, like, I don't know.
Yeah,
like,
I don't think...
Backstreet Boys, it's in the name. Like, Boyz II Men, they were kids when they formed, but they were called Boyz II Men. Like,
right.
You're literally, like, 15 years old.
Same
you're not a
with
man.
New Kids on the Block. I mean, for the most part, like, especially when it comes to the names, I feel like no one who's planning for these groups is thinking about longevity.
Right.
Like, that's what it seemed like, you know, as we started, like, getting into the 90s and 2000s and stuff. But, yeah, I don't... I don't get it. Like, I don't really even know the origin of the word boy band. I honestly think it came out simply because they went from being a boy band to in growing into like a full-blown rock band or group.
Yeah.
And so that might have been part of it. But yeah, it's just that is something that is always awkward for me. Like when I'm talking about certain groups that were like B5 was definitely
a boy band. Yeah.
But you would never hear them being called like, you know.
Yeah. Whatever. It's crazy.
It's insane.
So, do we want to talk about our favorites?
Let's talk about our favorites.
Okay.
Were you should go first. But I really want to know if you were a NSYNC or Backstreet Boys.
Yeah, I was going to ask you the same. I was going to ask you that. So, okay. What team were you on? I was on NSYNC.
I was definitely on NSYNC as well.
Okay,
because
good.
I loved Justin, and I definitely shipped Justin and Britney when they were younger.
Oh yeah.
And I also watched the Mickey Mouse Club. I was super into like that whole group of kids, like Justin, Brittany, Christina, all of them.
Yeah.
And so 100% Team NSYNC. I think the talent on that end is so much better.
Yeah.
And even now, like what they've grown into, I just generally like NSYNC better than Backstreet Boys. Like the men.
Yeah, I hope we don't upset anyone. But yes, I was also Team NSYNC. I like JC Chazé. I think that he deserved more fame after, but he really fucked up his solo career. But yeah, I loved NSYNC's debut single, I Want You Back. I think that is like hands down one of the best debut pop songs, like for a group ever. Like,
absolutely,
nobody has ever come that hard as a debut. You know what I mean? I Want You Back is so good. I can listen to it today and still just
and
go
NSYNC
off.
I don't want to say they got lucky, but you know, Backstreet Boys and NSYNC had kind of the same management, they were created by some of the same people. And NSYNC, in a way, was lucky that they came a little bit after because like Backstreet Boys kind of had to struggle for a couple years before they blew up.
Yeah, they didn't blow up immediately.
Right, they didn't blow up immediately. And so NSYNC, I think, did get lucky in that sense that they kind of weren't the guinea pig.
But I liked NSYNC. Like, even if you just go off of simply singles and not even just full albums and stuff, to me, they just have the better discography and better releases and stuff like that.
Yeah. And but I mean, the Backstreet Boys still have bops.
Yeah,
like
they do,
I will definitely go off to I Want It That Way, you know, at karaoke.
I know. I think I might know. No, I was about to say an NSYNC song. What was the song you just said?
Okay, I know you know. Like, I Want It That Way.
Yeah, I know that one.
Quit Playing Games With My Heart.
Okay. Yes.
Quit playing games with...
Okay, wait, no, maybe I don't know that song then. Say that again, sing it
again. What?
Quit playing games with my heart? Let me Google that real quick.
Quit playing games with my heart.
I know, I don't know that song.
With my heart. Da-da. Really?
I'm so sorry. I don't.
Okay,
like,
and then
I really was
there's
Team
this
NSYNC.
Song called Larger Than Life, which was really good.
Which one is that?
Hold on. I'm like just looking up their discography right now and reminding myself.
Okay, I know Everybody. I know that
Everybody.
One. I know that one.
Okay, then you definitely don't know this other
but
song.
I'm looking at all of their singles and no, like I'm looking at these names and I just don't know them.
Let me just look up a little bit of NSYNC's discography just really quick. Because I just railed off Backstreet Boys. So just to be fair to everybody. So again, like you said, I Want You Back.
So I'm looking at, I Googled NSYNC singles and the list came up. I know all of them. I don't want to see you out that door, baby. Bye, bye, bye. And then.
And then tearing up my heart
when I'm with you. And it's gonna be me. See, so many. Dirty Pop. Oh, even if you want to get festive, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. Like, I know all of these songs. I don't know Backstreet Boys songs at all.
So, okay, I feel like I know like an equal amount of both of them, but I have to agree that like NSYNC's discography to me is just the kind of pop that I just hold so dear to my heart.
Yes.
But like, again, not ragging on the Backstreet Boys.
No. But I was definitely on NSYNC hard. Yeah, I definitely love, like, when I was really in my pop phase, when I really liked Christina Aguilera, I was, oh, also I was team Christina instead of Britney.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I kind of picked sides and didn't, I didn't really start liking Britney until I got older. I didn't appreciate her until I got older, I don't think.
So, now that we got that out of the way, so what other groups did you like?
So, okay, so I'm going to say my favorite R&B group, since I've already said my favorite boy band, since we're separating the two, since they're separated. So my favorite was NSYNC, of course. My favorite R&B group was Jodeci, because, I don't know, I just really loved them. Like, I remember being younger and listening to them, like my mom would play them and stuff like that. And I didn't know what the hell they were talking about, because they were a lot more grown up and, like, a lot more explicit than, say, Boyz II Men, where Boyz II Men was singing, I'll make love to you, and Jodeci was singing, I want to freak you. So, you know what I mean? Like, there's a difference or whatever, but I really, really, really enjoyed Jodeci. I think it was because they just sing really well. Like, they started in a church like a lot of 90s R&B singers. It's like, if you didn't start in a church, you weren't going to be successful. But they started in a church, and they're just so talented. So Jodeci was definitely my favorite. I could also go with, like, Drew Hill, though. And
what's your favorite Jodeci song?
It's probably, I could say Come and Talk to Me, but that's, like, typical. Probably If Not Forever, My Lady.
Oh, that's a great one.
Love You for Life. Probably nice, Love You for Life. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, so those are my faves. What are yours?
Yeah, like, like I mentioned in the girl group episode, I've always been more of a girl group stan than boy bands. So I was a casual, even with NSYNC, it was very casual. And, like, growing up in the 90s, I knew of all of the biggest songs by, like, these R&B groups, but, like, I can't say that I ever dove into their discographies.
Yeah.
And so it really wasn't until, like, the 2000s where, you know, it wasn't just me listening to, like, what other people were listening to, but me seeking out music, where I started listening to, like, B2K, you know, and B5. And, like, B5 was, like, my everything. And I will say this on every possible episode that I can. I loved everything about them.
Who was your favorite?
Oh, Patrick was hands down my favorite.
Really? Mine was, mine was the cousin, the brown cousin, the one that wasn't a light bright.
What was Cornell? His name? Cornell, yeah. So for those of y'all who don't know, B5 was a Bad Boy Records project. That's Diddy's label. Basically, they were four brothers and their cousin. So they were, B5 stood for Breeding Five, which was their last name. I want to say around, like, 2005 or 2006, they somehow came out. I don't even remember how I found them. I have a feeling it was because one of their songs was on the top 10 of 106 and Park.
Yeah, that's how I found them.
I'm pretty sure, they were, like, a new artist feature or whatever on 106 and Park. Got into them, made my mom buy me their CD. You know, I would go on the magazine stands. I would buy the magazines with their faces on it, with all the posters. Shout out to J14. I was obsessed. I talked about this before, but those were some of the first message boards I ever went on. They were actually my first ever concert.
Really?
When I went to Scream Tour, it was B5, Bow Wow, T-Pain. I don't even remember who else was on it, but I only went to that concert because of B5, and I needed binoculars to see the stage, but it didn't matter. I was obsessed. I could still sing every lyric of their debut album from front to back.
Oh my goodness.
And it was great. I mean, they could sing, they could dance, they were adorable.
They were so cute.
But, like, in retrospect, they really sang, like, some of the songs. Like, they were too young to be singing certain songs. Like, there was a song on their first album where the youngest member was, like, 12 years old. There was a song called Teacher's Pet where they literally the whole time were, like, singing about this massive, like, crush they had on their teacher, and, like, there, I think there might have been a video for it, or maybe I'm making this
I'm
up.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
But it was just, like, so, like, in retrospect, it's just so kind of iffy. But basically, like many of Bad Boy's artists, they kind of fizzled before the second album. I think they might have done, they did Scream Tour, they might have done some mall stuff and, you know, amusement parks. But they kind of, not broke up, they were family, so they didn't break up, but I don't know that they made it to a second album, like, immediately. Yeah. Like, they kind of disbanded and then came back together years later, and when they came back together, they had lost their, like, super youthful cuteness, and they had gone into this weird phase where, like, their hair was really awkward, and it was...
Yeah.
It just wasn't a good look, and no one was really checking for them anymore, because most of their fans had grown up.
So, I forgot to mention, like, we gotta go into B2K just a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
So, loved them. Who's your favorite?
Lil Fizz was my fave, because, like, wasn't he a Sagittarius also?
I honestly didn't could not tell you that. I'm not sure.
Okay, wow. Am I just, like, exposing myself right now? So, when I think about B2K, like, I really think of my older cousins, because my two older girl cousins, because they were huge B2K stans. Like, they had, they were, like, and that was, like, you know, I would go to Philly every summer and, like, you know, be with all my cousins and stuff. And so a lot of my, you know, cultural experiences, like major cultural experiences, happened with my older cousins, like them kind of sharing stuff with me.
Yeah.
And, like, hands down, like, B2K was one of them. Like, one of the things they passed down. Yes. So he was a Sagittarius. I swear that's, like, a lyric or something.
Is it in a song? I'm not
sure. I swear that was a lyric.
But I loved them. I loved Omarion, and I loved J-Bug, like, equally. I just loved both of them. I used to tell people that Lil Fizz was my cousin. I don't know
why. Oh, my God.
I think he's like my aunt's godbrother or something like that, but she's, like, married into the family. So I just used to tell people he was my cousin. So I couldn't really like him like that, because I said, you know, he's family. But yeah, I loved Omarion and J-Bug, and I just loved all of their, like, dancing and stuff. And, you know, honestly, only Omarion really sang. But it was just nice to see, like, because I think it had been a while since we saw a boy group, like, dancing like that and stuff, because we had, like, because I'm thinking about, like, Jagged Edge, where they were out in the early 2000s as well, but they didn't dance. They were like the hood R&B group, where, like, they didn't dance. They were, like, cool and suave and stuff. But yeah, B2K, loved them. I saw them at Scream Tour. I don't know how, but I had floor seats. I remember my friend and I I don't know how my mom hooked it up, but we ended up getting floor seats to the Scream Tour, and I saw B2K. No, I didn't see B2K. I saw Omarion. He was already solo by then. I saw Omarion. Wow, now that I'm thinking about it, it wasn't B2K. I saw Pretty Ricky. They were in white spandex shorts. I remember that, because it was, like, really, we were, like, 12.
Was it in New Orleans?
Yeah, we were young as hell, and I remember being like, this is kind of, like, grown up.
Yeah.
This is, like, really grown up. But yeah, I remember seeing them and Omarion, and I think it was when Omarion and Bow Wow were, like, close friends and stuff like that.
Oh, my God. It was, like, let me hold
Yes, when Bow Wow had, like, beads in his hair and stuff. So, yeah, I mean, like, boy groups and stuff like that. I had my little phase, I guess, now that I'm thinking about it, because, like, I don't think I would have gone to, like, a solo Pretty Ricky concert or a solo B2K concert, but it was Scream Tour, and I think I was just down for whatever at that point. Like, boys, you know?
Whatever you could get.
Right? But, yeah, I mean, it was just so, it was so cool. They need to bring back Scream Tour for the kids.
Did for a minute. Like, when Mindless Behavior was a thing, which that's very new age boy group, and probably the last male R&B boy band that, like, got any attention, like, in recent years. Like, and I'm pretty sure they might have been on one of the last Scream Tours, but
They did it with, like, OMG Girls or something. Like that.
And if it wasn't Scream Tour, they definitely did, like, a joint tour type thing. But yeah, it's weird, because the boy band thing didn't die.
No.
You know, if anything, it was, like, revived with
One Direction.
Who completely changed
the boy band dynamic, like, completely. Like, for me, I just feel like they didn't do any dancing. They didn't do any dancing. And, you know, we come from a time back in our In the olden days, you know, boy groups used to dance. Boy bands used to dance.
Yeah, even NSYNC and Backstreet Boys hit some choreo.
They danced. So when you get One Direction, and I think that's why so many people, like, for their, like, five, six-year career, because they're over now, but, you know, no matter how much people want to deny it, but they're over now. But I think when you get a group that doesn't have any, like, phenomenal singers like Boyz II Men, where they lacked dance moves, they made up for it in vocals. You don't really have that with One Direction, where everybody is, like, a phenomenal singer. So it was, like, a kind of, like, when people would, when fans of theirs would talk about they felt like One Direction wasn't respected in the industry, it wasn't to me because of the fact that they were a pop group, because pop groups have been uber successful before.
Right.
And, you know, respected before. I think it was because it was obvious that they didn't have to put much work into it. You know what I mean? I think it was obvious that Simon Cowell had a formula that he, you know, kind of came up with them and he struck gold with.
Yeah.
And, you know, since then we've seen groups try to come up with that same type of formula, and it, you know, it hasn't really worked. It's just so, when I think about it, because, I mean, I liked a lot of their, like, not a lot maybe, but a good bit of their songs or whatever, and I followed them because I liked Zayn and I liked Liam. But, you know, I just think that they're just so different from the boy bands and groups that we are used to that I almost don't even want to put them in the same category because of how different they were. Like, besides the fact that they were pop, there were no other similarities. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and, yeah, like, I was not really into One Direction, like, at all. And if anything, when they first started coming out, they were actually, like, a huge annoyance to me. Like, I just didn't get it because, like you said, like, I just didn't understand the allure of it, like, at all because, you know, their songs were pretty basic. Like, it was basic pop. There was nothing really special about it and nothing much about their stage presence or whatever. But something that I do have to say about One Direction was that One Direction / The Directioners, that was, like, the first time I witnessed, like, the power of, like, a social media fandom.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And I honestly think that it was one of the first social media fandoms. I don't want to say the first because I think Beliebers might have that. But it was definitely Directioners were definitely one of the first big social media fandoms. Like, when I think about some of the first trending topics that I saw, like, forced trending topics. As in, like, Directioners love this or, like, Directioners love this. I was, like, I vividly remember, like, looking on Tumblr and wondering, like, what the hell a Directioner was.
Yeah.
You know? And so I do have to give them credit in that sense. And I think a lot of Simon's success with both One Direction and Fifth Harmony, like, had a huge, you know, and I've ranted about this so many times when it comes to Fifth Harmony, but a huge part of both of those groups' success was the timing of it and that it was coming up around this, like, very particular social media age where these fandoms were coming together and they were doing these voting sprees. And those two fandoms, you know, and One Direction came first, so you have to give them, you know, a lot of credit, like, really shaped a lot of, like, the just the social media fandom landscape in general, you know. And so I do have to give them that credit, but of course, like, you know, it was definitely a lot of white male privilege going on in that sense,
definitely,
as far as the amount of time, like, the length of time that they were continuing. But by the fourth album, like, their last album as a five-piece or whatever, that was hands down, like, that is a great album. I have to say that. Like, One Direction's album four.
Yeah.
So good. Like, it has
my favorite song on there, Stockholm Syndrome.
Stockholm
my God.
Syndrome, The Goat.
Yes.
Like, everything, No Control, like, you know, all
they
of these
that.
Songs, like, they, that was a great album that I feel like didn't get enough credit because
it was
maybe overshadowed. It was rushed, and the release of it was rushed. There was, like, little to no promotion that truly hit outside of, you know, their bubble.
It was obvious that they were just trying to get it out so they could do these solo things. You know what I mean? So Zayn could get out. So, you know, I don't know if it was so he could meet his, you know, contract requirements or whatever. But it was very obvious that four was just so they could get that out and get started on their own solo things or whatever. Because, I mean, they had that last album. But I think that last album was put out only because they didn't want it to seem like they were like completely giving up after mm-hmm. Zayn left.
Yeah, and I don't think they had any interest.
Yeah, I mean, it was bad. Like, I don't think they had any interest in even making that album. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, 4 is good as hell.
But I mean, like, another song I really did like, what's the song, Best Song Ever? It's a really dumb song, but it's so, so catchy.
I love some of their pop songs, though, like Kiss You. I really like that one.
How did that one go again?
Oh, I just want to say, you know. Yeah. So I really like that one, you know. So I mean, I like their pop songs because, you know, I'm not against pop music at all. But Four is definitely their best album.
That was like such a mature pop album. Like, I feel like, you know, as much as I wasn't a huge fan of some of their very early basic stuff, I feel like you truly could see what they grew into, both with production, vocals, etc., like on 4. So
yeah,
if you guys haven't listened to One Direction, highly recommend that 4. Album in particular.
Yeah.
And the best
You don't have to
ever.
Listen to anything else, but just go listen to 4.
I feel like we need to talk about old dude. Lou Pearlman.
Or just shady people with boy bands, period.
Yeah, so like, Again, like I mentioned in the beginning, you know, a lot of these boy bands, like, I feel like the drama of girl groups between, you know, the way 3LW broke up at a KFC and TLC ranting at the Grammys and the amount of members that Destiny's Child has, I feel like that, all that drama, like, there's so much more in a lot of these boy bands. Like, that's going on that, like, people never talk about, which is insane to me. And if they do talk about it, it's almost like a side note. Like, it's not something that's, like, attached to the group forever. So we need to go back to this man named Lou Pearlman, who is a very, well, he passed away last year, but he was a very shady man who, basically, Lou Pearlman was responsible for both NSYNC and Backstreet Boys, as well as a bunch of other groups that, you know, you may or may not have heard of.
O-Town might be one.
O-Town, yeah. And pretty much this man, not only was he like a sexual predator, as in he, you know, was doing creepy things with a lot of the boys that he dealt with.
Yeah.
He also was just really shitty to them when it came to like financial issues. So
he was a scammer.
Yeah, he was a scammer. He embezzled millions and millions of dollars, and actually when he died in prison because he was serving this long ass, you know, sentence for all the fraud that he had committed.
Yeah.
So yeah, basically he took advantage of these, you know, men. There's a lot of like articles out there because some of the boys came out and admitted like that he had done stuff to them, and and some of them denied it, and you know, it's all very like shady shit, but pretty much like the general consensus is that he got into the music business and pretty much took advantage of all these groups. And I read actually in one of the articles that like every single group that he represented has sued him except for one.
That's crazy.
You know, it annoys me every time I hear stories like this, because you just think about how all of these child and teen stars, like, so many of them have been taken advantage of by shady people, whether it's this man, Lou Pearlman, or, like, you know, L.A. Reid or Pebbles or Maurice Starr you know, who you know, completely messed up New Edition's you know, career in the beginning. Like, it's just insane to me. And Lou Pearlman, like, was known at the time as the king of boy bands.
Yeah.
When you think about, like, the kind of stuff he allegedly did to a lot of these boys who are now men, like, that's just insane and so sick. Like,
I mean, like, you have to think about the fact that, like, when I was watching the New Edition story, they were when they were in the kids stage or whatever, they were in like clubs performing with grown-ups and things like that. Somebody had brought up how Jackson 5 used to perform in like strip clubs and things. Like, it just, to me, it's like, as a manager or whatever, I don't know if I would put kids in those situations, but when it's money involved, they don't care how they're exploiting them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so we saw the scene where New Edition had to split a check of $1.87 between the five of them. It wasn't $1.87 a piece. Mm-hmm. They had to split $1.87 between five people after going on a tour where they had literally transitioned in the movie from little kids to, you know, like teenagers or whatever. And it's like, why do people take advantage of these kids? They're making you so much money. You can do this fairly. You know what I mean? You can make so much money the right way. But people just take advantage of the kids and their parents, especially when they're from the hood, like New Edition, where they just want to get out of the hood. So mm-hmm. they sign a contract where they don't know what it is. You know, you sign a contract, you think you're about to get all of this money, but then you have to go on tour and pay the label back. And you have to do all these things and pay the label back. And it's like, well, damn, I'm left with $1.87 to split between the five of us. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I don't know. I just wish that groups could be treated better, because I think if they're treated better, they'd have a longer shelf life. Yeah. You know what I mean? People, you know, get into groups and they use it as a stepping stone for their solo career at this point, you know, at this day and age, because they don't take it seriously. Like, people don't take groups seriously because of how bad they've been treated in the past mm-hmm. and how bad they're still being treated or whatever.
Yeah, so, and I think that does have a lot to do with it. No one wants to put their kids in a group anymore. I'm sure labels right. don't want to deal with groups anymore because they cost a lot of money. And, right. you know, there have been so many bad seeds, like, when it comes to people who mismanaged the groups.
Right.
They're like, why would you want anything to do with that? Like, why not get your pick of solo artists and just make it? It's 100% low maintenance and a lot easier to manage, you know. And I guess you get in less trouble if you fuck up one person's life as compared to a group of five.
Exactly.
And you don't get sued when it happens. And, you know, because it's not like artists aren't getting exploited now. It's not like child stars aren't getting exploited now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when you think of JoJo. You know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, JoJo, like, was stuck absolutely. In a contract for, like, a decade, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
I mean, L. Varner, Tinashe, like, we could... Yeah. There's artists going through that shit right now. Like, it's a mess. But that's just, like, deep-rooted issues with the music industry in general. But it just is so sick how deeply it affects, like, young kids and teens that are coming up. Like, that to me is just absolutely disgusting. Like, it's a mess. I feel like people will not let us off the hook if we don't talk about some of the double standards between boy bands
definitely.
And girl groups. So where are your thoughts on that?
I just think it's a lot of bullshit. The general population or the general public, whatever, is going to decide who they like more, right? So if you give Fifth Harmony and you give One Direction the same resources, the public should be able to choose who they're gonna side with. You know what I mean? But labels aren't doing that. We've seen how Simon just does not involve himself in Fifth Harmony's career at all.
Like,
at all. Like, in the beginning, he'd be there
even
sometimes.
Even when Camila
but,
left, like, he didn't put out a statement. But he did put out a statement for when Zayn left.
Right.
Like,
and
that
I'm sure,
in and of itself should tell you how he feels.
Exactly. And I'm sure that he's collecting these checks, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's just like, I just feel like the labels, if they would just give girls a chance, but they just won't give a girl group a chance like they give a boy group, you know what I mean? Because they figure, well, we're just going to market these boys, these attractive boys, to these boy-loving girls or whatever, and they're going to buy all the merch, and they're going to buy all the music, and we're going to make all the money. But people are willing to do that for girl groups, you know
they
what I mean?
They really, really are.
People
and
are
it,
willing
I mean,
to
it
do
just,
that for
It doesn't
girl
make
groups.
Any sense that, like, girl groups now have to be, like, once in a generation or, like, once
yeah.
in a decade.
Or
like,
just the fact that they have to work 10 times harder. One Direction has no stage had no stage presence. They didn't do shit. They literally, like, Harry used to spit water on the stage. Like, what the fuck is that? They used to, like, I've seen videos of, like, these boys, like, eating bananas on stage and eating a sandwich and shit and just sitting down and do, like, they don't have costumes. They walk in
they
their street clothes
walk
and they
and
walk
on
stage.
It might as like, well be a MagCon show.
Exactly. And it's like Fifth Harmony, they have to do rehearsals, they have to have costumes, they have to be this, they have to be that. And it's like, they just, like, they have to work so much harder than
the
boys to get half, you know
the
what I mean?
The choreo, the learning how to breathe while you're dancing, like, all this shit that makes it so, so much harder. The dancing in heels, I mean, this is, like, men versus women in the industry in general, but, like, I mean, when you put those two groups against each other, like, no girl group would have been able to get away with doing, like, what One Direction does. Like, I'm sorry.
No, never. I think that Fifth Harmony and any other girl group, Little Mix, like, they are held to a Destiny's Child standard where One Direction isn't held to a standard at all. Because, you know, in my mind, I feel like, okay, well, I'm used to the NSYNCs and the Backstreet Boys. One Direction should be like them. They should be hitting a little two-step or something. Mm-hmm. You know, give me some
stage hand on presence, the chest with the
something. You know, singing in the rain with your hand on the chest, open your shirt, something. Yeah. I'm not getting that from them
at
or whatever.
All.
And I feel like nobody ever brings up the fact that they're not getting that from them. They're just like, okay, this is what it is and we're accepting it. But with Fifth Harmony, it's like, oh, well, they're no Destiny's Child. Mm-hmm. They're no this, they're no that. And it's like, well, that's not fair. But I mean, that's life.
Yeah.
As a woman, you know what I mean? And then, you know, five women of color on top of that. And I think
four.
That has, oh yeah, four. You're right. But you know, when they were formed, you know, when they were a five piece and when they were first formed or whatever, when we saw like how little resources they got in the beginning, it's very frustrating. Especially when they're managed by the same people. I think it would be different if they weren't like, you know, of course, LA Reid has more control over Fifth Harmony, but like, in terms of like them being taken care of by the same people, it's like, it's crazy that the resources are so limited in comparison to One Direction.
Right.
It's really crazy.
It's a mess. But yeah, I mean, we're like entering an interesting year, I think. Like One Direction is officially over.
Yes.
You know,
finally.
Fifth Harmony is starting a new era.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just wondering, like, what is going to be this? We're really like entering the end of this little mini era of groups, I think.
Yeah.
And so it'll be really interesting to see who pops up and maybe takes over because, you know, 5 Seconds of Summer and the Vamps dropped off.
Yeah.
You know, we see June's Diary kind of bubbling. I'm not sure. Like, they haven't completely disappeared yet, so I'm, like, keeping an eye on them. But, like, groups in general, between boy bands and girl groups and R&B male groups, which I'm hoping make a comeback, it'll be really interesting within the next 5 years to see if that is about to completely become extinct.
Yeah.
Or if we're going to see some new era pop up. Because I'm not feeling as hopeful as, you know, I was maybe 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, I don't know, if people would, like, if these labels would just put forth effort with the groups, they could really make them lots of money. Like, we've seen it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Just all you have to do is try.
Yeah.
They just want it to be super easy, though. They don't want it to be kind of like the success has to be a given or whatever. And that's not going to happen. I mean, that's why June's Diary is kind of like wading in the water right now, because like they don't have an online presence really. And nobody's really, really checking for them. So because of that, they're kind of like on standstill.
Yeah.
But I hope that.
I am hopeful. I need, you know,
I
don't know.
Groups.
Maybe I should just like call Migos a boy band.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know who I do like though? Mike Lowry. But they're a UK boy group. But they seem to be like, they just got off of tour with Justin Bieber and stuff. So I'm guessing they'll be making their way to the US this year or whatever. They've been building, and they can sing. Like, those boys can actually sing. They don't dance though, but they can actually sing. So I guess it makes up for it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was boy bands and our take
bands.
On it. That was our take on boy bands.
Holler at us if you guys have any thoughts.
Yes.
You know, tweet us your faves. And
tell me if you are Team NSYNC or Team Backstreet Boys.
Or
I want to know.
I won't judge you, but, you know,
yeah,
we need to have this conversation. That's one of the biggest questions you can ask someone. So
let me know.
Yeah, thank y'all for listening. Let's get into
flops and faves. If this is your first time listening, it's our favorite thing of the week and our least favorite thing of the week. I'm going to let you go first since I think you'll be shorter than me today.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't have a flop this week, guys. It's not as much because the week was amazing and I don't, well, part of it was. I went to New York and that was fun and I actually did have a really great weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But there were things that annoyed me. I just, like, don't have the energy to get into it. So,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to, like, forego my flop for the week. And also, we had a whole flop episode last week, so
yeah.
I think y'all are tired of hearing me rant.
Listen,
so I'm gonna
I have
talk
a flop,
about
though.
My fave. So, you know, Beyonce is very pregnant. But anyway, when we get into these times of dehydration, I usually go back into her discography and listen to some of her older stuff. And, like, when I'm washing dishes, watch, like, some of her old live performances. So mm-hmm. I recently like rediscovered my love for her cover of Anita Baker's Sweet Love.
Oh, yes. So good.
And basically she did a medley where she went from an acoustic version of Sweet Dreams mm-hmm. into Dangerously in Love and then into yes. Sweet Love by Anita Baker. And y'all, like,
so good. She Can went we play off. That on here? Can we play that on here?
Yeah, I mean, she didn't even really switch up the arrangement that much.
It's so good, and I think that's why,
like,
I love it so much.
It was a very clean cover, and I just absolutely love it. And, like, you truly see, like, Auntie Beyoncé come out. Like,
yes.
I'm fully confident that, you know, in 20 years, we're still going to see Beyoncé perched up on a stage like Auntie Aretha and Auntie
Bopping.
Patty, you know, just, like, out here. And, like, it's just such a great cover. But yeah, queen of medleys, queen of arrangements, Beyoncé. That is my fave of the week. I've probably listened to it like 20 times in the last 2 days. That's my fave, and I promise I will have a flop for y'all next time, but I just couldn't.
Okay, so I have a fave. Okay, so my first fave is... my first fave is Fifth Harmony, okay? So I went home this weekend. Home is New Orleans, if you don't know. And this is Mardi Gras season, and this past weekend was All-Star Weekend. So it was like the city was crazy. And I had totally forgot that Fifth Harmony was coming down until they had tweeted when I was actually on my way home as well. And they were performing at one of the little festivals that's going on during the Mardi Gras season or whatever. So at first I wasn't going to go, but I had posted a poll on Twitter and I'm like, guys, should I go see it? Because I totally forgot that this would be their first like show without Camila. And I totally forgot about that. So everybody said, yeah, I should go. So I ended up going mm-hmm. and it was really like, they were really good. I saw some people had like some criticisms of it. They watched a Periscope or whatever.
Oh.
But it was really good. Like, I think maybe just through the phone, certain things sound a certain way, mm-hmm. you know, versus being live. But I really enjoyed it. The only thing, though, is that... So I'm going to just get into my flop. So my fave is Fifth Harmony or whatever.
Okay.
So the only thing I did not like is the fact that festival crowds are a nightmare.
Oh, yes.
Like, so that's my flop. Festival crowds. So pretty much festivals are for people that, like, don't really know album tracks at all. And mm-hmm. so they get super lit during, like, Work From Home and Miss Moving On. Like, they even got turned for that. Mm-hmm. Miss Moving On. And, you know, like, Sledgehammer was another crowd favorite. I'm like, okay, New Orleans. But, yeah, so they got super lit for those songs. But then, like, the 10 other songs that they performed from their album, nobody knew, really. And you could see, like, the stands. I didn't go all the way into the crowd because I had new shoes on. And I was not about to play with those drunk white people. But, yeah, like, you could see, like, they did have quite a few stands out there. Mm-hmm. But, like... oh my God, like festival crowds make the show boring because, like, you know, when we went, so it's almost been 2 years since we went to our show in like a week or so, I think. But yeah, so it's been like 2 years since we went to our show, but our show was fun because the crowd was also
lit. A crowd of fans. And so,
right.
They, yeah.
So, and I feel like, you know, concerts are fun when the crowd is engaged as well as the artist just being good. You know what I mean? But I was just like, these people are killing the vibe. Like, they were, like, asking them, people to clap and shit like that. And people were so, like, stuck on recording on their phones, I guess, just to say they saw Fifth Harmony or whatever. And it's like, that's so annoying. And I finally understand why artists get, like, really annoyed by that now. Because it's like, you look out and all you see is phones and nobody's really singing along or anything. And it's like, well, shit, why did you come here in the first place?
Right.
And I mean, it was a decent amount of people out there. whatever. And it was like, you know, crowded. People were standing shoulder to shoulder, but it was just like, you're not singing along. And like, I had a girl behind me and I kept hearing her say, wow, I don't know this song. I don't know this song. But when Work From Home came on, she went
off. She got lit, I'm sure.
She went off, you know what I mean? But yeah, it was a nice experience. I do just wish the crowd was a little bit better because it just, they were sucky, but yeah, it was a good, they did really well, you know, and I That's do nice. Think that, like I said this after the whole thing, I said, you know, I saw them in 2015, you know, I saw them today, and they are not in need of her, of their ex-member at all.
Oh yeah.
They're completely fine without her. But yeah, so that's my fave and flop. Oh, I kind of wanted to plug some music. EP by this kind of, I guess I would call them a boy group. No, they're not really a boy group. They're more like R&B or whatever, alternative R&B.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one singer and like two of them are like producers or whatever. And their name, they're called Sonder, and the EP is called Into, INTO.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really good. Brent Fayez, he's the lead singer and he sings really well. So go listen to that if you haven't. And yeah, so that was the episode.
Yeah, thanks for listening, y'all. Shout out to our podcast DJ, Dion. She produces all the music you hear at the beginning and end of every episode. You can follow her on SoundCloud and Twitter at yourgirldjmagic, and you can find all her info, links to her mixes, all of that in our description box.
And you can follow us on Twitter at The Fan Podcast, and our personal Twitters will be in the description box.
Yep. So, yeah.
Oh, and I think Dion officially released her like album or whatever. I know I listened to it because you know I got that exclusive drop or whatever.
Oh my God.
But I think she released the official thingy. So I'm going to link it down low so you guys can hear because it's really good. It's really good. Queen of vocals. She sings on one of the songs. But yeah, go listen to her album. It's really good. It's good for like driving, and it's called Drive. That's why I say it's good for driving. But it's good for like, it's like chill music or whatever. Listen to it while you're studying or something.
Yeah.
So yeah, talk to y'all next
time. Thanks guys. Talk to y'all soon. Bye.
Bye.